Our scripture today is from the book of John 6, verse 25 to 35. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures the eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, on God, the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our father ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They say to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's sad that we didn't win the gold medal, don't you think? Yes, it is sad. Yes. I'm sure it was a very good game. So we have this season of Lent, which I've already introduced a little bit. In the liturgical church around the world, and there's all kinds of denominations that follow it quite significantly, you have the season of Advent, which is the season of Christ coming and celebrating the incarnation, which is God with us, right? Huge theme that God comes to us in Jesus Christ. He's with us. That's the incarnation. So during Advent, we spend time focusing on that theme. And then we know about Easter. Easter, of course, is the celebration of Christ's victory over death, the resurrection, the cross and the resurrection. But in between these two times, we have the season of Lent. And Lent is a time of preparation, a preparation of our heart. It's interesting, in Bolivia, when I go down there, there's a big, big distinction. There's a break between anything that's Catholic and anything that's Protestant. Like, it's a huge. They just separate from one another absolutely completely. And so anything that might have overtones of the Catholic Church, for example, like Lent, they will have nothing to do with that. So you would never, ever even hear about it. But here, we try to merge a little bit what the church year is about, and the liturgical calendar is just a reminder over and over of what God has done. So Lent is a season to prepare our hearts for Easter. To prepare our hearts in terms of what does it mean to follow Jesus. So in my day-to-day, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, we could say, of course, well, I don't need the season of Lent to think about that. I can just do that on my own, which is totally true. You could. But these prompts are reminders of what God has done, and we need reminders. We don't necessarily think about all these issues, and we just get caught up in our day-to-day and what life's all about, and that's where we're at. So the season of Lent is a reminder. We're moving towards Easter. We are companions of Christ. What does that mean to follow Christ? So that's what we're about in these 7 weeks. And specifically for our church here, we're going to use the 7 I Am statements from the Gospel of John. So these are famous verses. I'm sure most of you know about them, but here they are just to remind ourselves. So the first is, "I am the bread of life." So when Jesus says that I am the bread of life, he's clearly not meaning that I am a loaf of bread which you are going to eat, right? We know that. So it's a symbol. I am the bread of life. So we talked about that. Proverbs 9 talks about, well, bread is also wisdom. So you can make the connections there. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. These are all symbols. These are all metaphors. I am the light of the world. What does that mean? We'll look at that. Thirdly, I am the gate. Fourthly, I am the good shepherd. Fifthly, huge, I am the resurrection and the life, which was announced by Jesus just before the rising or the raising of Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. Famous one, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus teaching from the Upper Room Discourse, John 13 to 17. And then finally, I am the true vine. The vine, I am the true vine. Well, in Israel, their grapevines were all over the country. People understood grapes. They understood the image of vine. It's used in the Old Testament as a metaphor for Israel. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, there's all kinds of connecting points that the listeners are already getting because they understand the vine image. We don't necessarily understand it so much. Maybe if you live in BC, you live down in Prince Edward County, there's lots of wineries, so I am the true vine, you might think about it a bit more. Here in the city, perhaps not. So these seven metaphors Jesus uses to help reveal to the people what it means to understand God and know God more, and for us to understand what God is doing in Jesus Christ, all right? That's where we're going. I am the bread of life is the first one. So to understand it in context, we'll say a little bit about the context. So it begins here, verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. So to understand that, you would need to read all of chapter 6 of the Gospel of John to get it. But to review it a little bit, we're talking about here scarcity or abundance. And this, by the way, this metaphor, this statement, scarcity or abundance, Henry Nouwen has used it, Parker Palmer has used it, so this is not new from me, all right? But it's an image that is out there that I like. Scarcity or abundance? How do you live your life? So back it up a little bit. The crowds are seeking Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has just fed the 5,000. This is an incredible miracle. 5,000 people fed from, we know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that a little boy happens to have with him. He brought it for lunch as they're going out to listen to Jesus in the wilderness. If you've been watching The Chosen, if you know that at all, I think I'm actually going to try it. I have the disc. We're going to set it up so we'll just do 1 a week and people can come and listen to it and watch it, because I know a bunch of you watch it. Maybe you haven't watched it, but we'll set that up for the future. I mention that because the symbol that they use at the beginning of The Chosen is 5-2. 5-2. Every episode, you look at it, 5-2. What are they referring to? They're referring to this story, Jesus teaching the people through 5 loaves and 2 pieces of fish. So 5-2 is the symbol that The Chosen has brought and used. They're thinking that, hey, we have done all this work in preparing this series, ton of work, and now we're putting it out, and you do what you can with it. We have prepared, now you do the work. That's what 5-2 is about for them. People have done it. So 5,000 have been fed. Of course, the crowds are wowed by this, right? So they're wondering, well, this is a pretty incredible miracle. So in this person, who they say see maybe as a Messiah, they decide that they want to make him king. So that's going on. They want to make him king. Jesus hears about it. He decides, that's not why I've come. I've not come to be a political ruler over the people and to knock Rome out. That's not my mission. Could be a mission. But it's not his mission that he's claimed. And so he slips out the door, goes up into the hills to pray. So that's all happening in John chapter 6. He could overcome the Romans. Could do that. The Gospels tell us that he could call 10,000 angels from heaven. But he doesn't do that. Doesn't do that now. But there will be a day when God will overcome all the evil of the world. Christ will return. That's part of the gospel story. It's part of Advent. Christ comes, Christ will return. So the crowd is excited because Jesus feeds them all. They like that. And we could pursue that. And so what we have in the Gospels, whenever we have a feeding story, and there are a bunch of them, right, where Jesus feeds the crowds, 5,000, 4,000, he does miraculous things. It raises the issue, well, then how do we see the world? And what Nouwen and Palmer were suggesting, do we see it through the model of abundance, or do we see it through the model of scarcity? The feeding miracles are showing that God sees the world in abundance. There's enough food in the world to feed everybody. We know that, right? Everybody could be fed. But in our political systems, we mess things up, and so there are large numbers of people around the world who actually don't get fed, even though food is going to waste in all kinds of other places. But there is the abundance to feed. So the story of the feedings is about abundance, not about scarcity. The problem is the world sees it through scarcity. And we often fall into it the same way. And I'm not thinking only here of money. That's not the point, okay? It can be money. How do we see the world? But it talks about our own fears. My fear that there's not enough. My fear that I have to draw the circle very tight around me or my group because I have to protect myself from everybody else. That's scarcity, and we all fall into that. We all can be driven by our fears rather than confidence in God. So these feeding miracles are about, well, how do you live your life? Do we have confidence in God that God will work? Or do we live in fear that somehow I've got to figure it all out myself, and if I don't figure it out, things are going to be a disaster? So we are driven by fears, are we not at times? I think we are. I won't tell you about my CRA story. You're getting tired about hearing that. But I did hear a verdict, and I do indeed owe them some money. So there we are. That's where I'm starting. So I'm going to start a little pot, okay? It's called the Allen Davy pot. So if you want to kick in, Sasha, I need a little bit of money. He's smiling. Scarcity or abundance? How do we see the world? So it's not just us, but it's also how do we see the immigrant? How do we see the people who come to our country from other lands? Are we welcoming them, or are we fearful of them? I mean, this is a real story, is it not? See it in our country, we see it particularly in the United States right now. So are we fearful? Are we afraid that if we let these people in, they're going to take it away from me? Therefore, I want to keep them out because I want to keep my own pot nice and big. So the abundance story of the Gospels and the feeding stories, that we need to just consider that. Do I see the world through scarcity, or do I see the world through abundance? We all need to ask ourselves that. As a church, we need to ask ourselves that. As a country. All right, so that's how we begin. Speaks to our understanding of the world, the homeless, peoples in crisis. How do we respond to them? If I think there's not enough, I probably won't be very friendly. They're dipping into my pot. I need the pot for me. We move on. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. This is Jesus' response to them. You're following me, he says, because you just were fed, and you think that's great, and you want to make me king so we'll kick out the Romans. But I'm asking you to think deeper, and verse 27 is a very important verse. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because we can spend our whole life focusing on the food that speaks for today. And I can get totally caught up on just today. I want my needs met today. And I'm not thinking about down the road. I'm not thinking of bigger questions. It's gratification right now. Satiation, we're calling it. Essentially, it means we want a comfortable, easy, pleasant life. That's what I want. I don't want any hardships. I just want God to work with me right now and make everything work out. Jesus says that's working for the food that is in the immediate situation. Don't get caught up in that. Work for the food that lasts forever. We have all kinds of stories right now. I mean, the terrible story of Epstein. So Epstein obviously had his talents in terms of talking to people and making connections all around the world with very powerful people. And he lived the life of Riley. He lived in luxury. Had a huge, you know, apartment in New York City. I mean, he lived what many people would say was the good life. And we know all the craziness and bad things that he did. But what happens at the end? You live your life, you end up going to jail, and he dies in jail. And I would say he was hung. Just my interpretation of things. I don't think it was him killing himself at all. I think he was hung. So why am I saying that? Because you, verse 27, you're only going for today. You're only going for today, and you're forgetting everything else. But the everything else, the big picture is always there. A lighter story. I read today, this week, Tom Brady. We all know him, great football player. He just built a home worth $150 million in Miami. So he has a home worth $150 million in Miami, which is sinking, which is going to go under the water. But anyway, he built the home right there. Now, I'm just thinking to myself, okay, who needs a house worth $150 million? Seriously, who needs this? And there's desperation all over the planet. I mean, build your house, okay, but $150 million, this is pushing it, don't you think? But what does it mean? It means you're digging deep right here in the moment. And I'm just using him as an example. He may be wonderful, he may be a believer, I don't know, but that event, I think, is a little out of step. That's all I'm saying. There's needs all around, but I'm going to do this. So we can easily get caught into that as well. The invitation is to go deeper. Don't just get caught up in the bread that feeds for today, but for the bread that will lead for eternal life. I mean, just think about that, right? You can have your 70 years, 65 years. You can be like these rich and powerful, and then you finally end your life, and then what? And someone else is living their life, and it leads to eternal life. Like, that's a big contrast, don't you think? We're talking, you have your day under the sun, then that's it, and then someone else has got life eternal. So Jesus is saying, man, just think big, think big. Think about what is really offered here, food that energizes forever. That's what this means. I am the bread of life. Ecclesiastes says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Note, he has also set eternity in the human heart. So when we go deeper, we already know that we're invited to something bigger than just here and now. God has set eternity in the human heart. But at times, we'll just say, screw eternity, I don't want eternity. Faust says, I want it all right now, that's it. And what happens at the end? The devil comes and says, hey, I want my soul, man, you made a deal with me. And we forget that God has made eternity in our hearts. So it's the invitation is there. It's not just the New Testament. It's there. So that leads us to this statement, Jesus is the bread of life, the first of the seven I am statements. I am the bread of life, verse 35, and it's repeated later on in the chapter as well. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Well, again, that's a metaphor, right? You are going to be hungry physically somewhere along the line, and you are going to be thirsty. I was thirsty right there. I took a sip of water. So when Jesus says that, he's talking at a deeper level. If you know me, you will know something substantive, and you will know your connection with God, and you will know that God loves you and wants you forever. So you will never be hungry. You will never be thirsty in this bigger sense, because you will know your connection to God here and now and going forward through me, Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit. And that, I would say, is definitely true. But we have to hold on to that because we can shut it down and just live in the moment and forget the whole thing. So it's always an invitation to know what God has for you, to know that, to live not in fear, but to live in confidence. So our church, to live in confidence and not in fear. We don't know the whole story. We don't know where it all goes, right? We can't say, where will I be in 5 years from now? Where will the church be in 5 years? We don't know exactly, but we can live with confidence and not in fear, because God will help us figure it out. As we get there, figure it out. So you can say yes to that, or you can say no. It's up to you. It's up to us. I can say, no, I've got to figure it all out right now. But you can't figure it out right now. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Jesus says that right up. Stay here. Stay now. Stay located. Jesus is the bread of life. Example, the woman at the well. Which, by the way, is an amazing story that Jesus spends time with this woman who he knows has been engaged with a variety of folk, variety of men. But he knows all that. But he chooses to spend time with her, and the disciples later are blown away by it. This is not some person who everybody would say is a model citizen and just spend time with her. She is someone that they would critique. Jesus is with her, right? And explaining to her, would you help me? I'm thirsty, man. Would you give me a cup of water? She says, sure. They get into a conversation. He says, well, you know, by the way, I can give you the water so you'll never thirst again. Wow. Give me that water. I want that water. Terrific. So Jesus is engaging at a deep level here. I will give you water. You will never thirst. So keep your eyes on God. And he invites her into a relationship, right? And you know the story. She goes back to her town and says, hey, I've met a man who's told me everything I've ever done. But he loves me. He's open to me. He accepts me. And they rush out to meet this amazing person. So that's Jesus giving the bread, giving the water that goes for life. The contrasting one is the story of the rich farmer. I mean, here's a guy, man, who is definitely only working for what he has in the moment. I've been successful. The harvests have been beautiful for me. I've got my barns full. So I'm just going to what? Eat, drink, and be merry. And if life is only about right now, then that's not a bad answer. I want to eat, drink, and be merry. Why not? Because I may die tonight, and at least I've had a good time. But you're forgetting this whole dynamic of being a creation of God, and God wants you to be with him forever. You're only building for now, and you're forgetting in terms of working for the bread that will last forever. And so you know the story. That night, he was taken. Your soul is lost. So how do we live? What's our response? I've used before the issue or the metaphor, Jesus is our soul food. Keep eating, munching on Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. Go deeper, that's the point, right? Don't stay on the surface, go deeper, point number two. That's the invitation for us. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck where you are. Sometimes we do get stuck in our pain. We never move beyond our pain. Something bad's happened in my life, and I just say that. I never get over it. Go deeper. Going to the third point, then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven," because they're saying it was Moses. Jesus says, "No, it wasn't Moses. It was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." They're talking about the manna that came in the wilderness. "For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." That's one translation. Another translation is, "For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." It can be who or it can be which. Depends on the translation where the interpreter goes. But Jesus is saying, "For the bread of God is that one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus. Jesus is saying, "I have come down." He says it that clearly. "I have come down. I am the connecting point. I have come from the Father to give you life. And my body is going to be broken for you that will give you life. Victory over death." That's good news. Death is not the end. Life is the end. Zoe life. "For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So, wasteland or resurrection, we can live on the surface. We can focus on leisure things. Here I list some of them. Anger, greed, lust, hedonism, ingratitude. We play the role of victim. There are lots more we could list. But we can get stuck right there. Is that not true? We can get stuck in our anger. We can get stuck in our greed. We can get stuck in our lust. We can get stuck in hedonism and get stuck in ingratitude. All of those things and more. Even though we're Christians. You can be a Christian and be as greedy as anybody out there. I've met a few of them. So, all of those, we can focus on the surface and forget our deeper calling. I say that for all of us. We are invited to choose life, which leads us to the fifth I am statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" "I believe you are the Messiah who's come down from the heaven. You are the Messiah." She declares her faith, and then Lazarus is raised. And Jesus is killed, really, because Lazarus was raised. That miracle was so powerful, they want to knock off both Lazarus and Jesus because it's just too much. You can't hide it. So they want to dismiss it. Let's get Lazarus out of the way. Kill him. But Jesus is the one. I am the resurrection and the life. So no matter how bad your day is going right now, right? Canada is mourning because we lost to the big enemy in hockey, which is our game. And good old Donald Trump today is going to be on Truth Social. He's probably already there saying, "We did it to you guys. We are better than you at everything, including hockey." That'll happen. Probably there already. No matter how bad the day is, we have resurrection life. Let's remember that. Focus on that. Remind ourselves. Hope is there. Confidence is there. Trust in God. So what is the review? Scarcity or abundance? How do we view our lives? Superficiality or depth? Immediacy or the long game? Wasteland or resurrection? Despair or joy? Depression or positivity? Bring it home to Lent. All right. How is Jesus my companion here and now? And how do I need to refocus my life so that I am centering on Him and I can be happy in Him, even amidst the challenges? I can be happy. God is good. Refocus on Him. We don't know the future. Here and now, focus on Him. The goodness of God. We sing that, right? The goodness of God. I know you've got your hassles, you've got your problems, your challenges. We all do. That's for sure. But in the midst of it, God is still good. And He is the bread of life. And He's done that so that we might know and experience life. May we say yes to Him. In Jesus' name, amen.